Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 588 of the Drunk Dexter's Podcast. I am your host as always. I'm Tyler, and joining me, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. How you doing, buddy?
Oh man, I'm doing all right. Got everything else all organized here, and now I'm feeling ready to go.
Yeah. So, in case maybe you missed last week's episode or forgot, Gables and I, or maybe it's your first time listening, we did an episode just a little bit ago. We finished that one. That was a last regular episode of the year. If you want to go back, check that one out. Did a eulogy on E3, talked about Last of Us Online, Spider-Man, Insomniac, and just kind of, it was the last regular show of the year. So this is kind of a year in review of 2023 and everything's going on. We're going to talk about we have our PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo wrap-ups, year in review, whatever you want to call them. Then Gables and I, we started doing this last year. We liked it a lot. We're going to do it again this year. We're going to go through, we have the Game Informer release calendar for video games this year. And we're going to scroll through it together, and we're going to go through, and we're going to check it out. So Gables here, I'm going to do a little share screen for you here. They can't see it yet though, but you can. But we'll get into it a little bit later. But yeah, if you guys like all this, please check us out. We do the show every week. Gables and I do, and we talk about video games and everything we love about them. Please, the description down below, there's links to our Twitter, Facebook, Apple, Spotify, wherever podcast service you listen to those. Just search for us, Drunk Nerds, Drunk Dash Nerds. You'll find us. Leave 5-star reviews, thumbs up, shares, follow, subscribes on YouTube. Same thing. If you're watching on YouTube, you can actually follow along. We're going to do a share screen here with everybody so you can actually follow along with the calendar as we scroll through, and we're just going to stop and talk about stuff as it comes up. If you go there, please, same thing, follow or subscribe, hit the bell so you know when you get notified when we post a show. Follows on there, likes on there. So it's our second show. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm very tired. So give us some thumbs up, please. Leave us comments, share with your friends. More people can do stuff like that. It really helps out. We're getting very close to getting to the point where YouTube would have to pay us a little bit of ad revenue for doing this podcast. So if you guys can help us get us over that edge, we would really appreciate it if you did that for us. But Gables, without further ado, yes, should we get into some of our year reviews here?
Sure.
All right. Which one should we start with?
Okay. Why don't we start with the Xbox one?
Okay. All right. Do you want to go first, buddy? You want me to go first?
I'm going to have you go first.
Okay. Here, I'll do a little, I'm going to switch this over here. Boom. Here we go. All right. Gables, can you see the screen?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Looks like we're good on the OBS side of things. So this is my my year in review here for Xbox. Gables and I were talking a little bit before the show. Xbox, probably my least favorite of the three when it comes to getting some of the information here. But as you can see here, currently lifetime, the game is score at 98,000. I earned just over 8,004 this in 2023 for gamer score. 260 hours spent on the Xbox. Played 56 total games. Had 383 total achievements. September was my biggest month as far as gaming goes on the Xbox. That's because of Starfield. We can scroll down here. You can see some of the games I played. But you can see here, I was in the top 20%. For hours played on the Xbox as far as gaming goes, and I was top 5% in gamer score earned and achievements unlocked. So not too surprised there. Like game like Ravenlock here, I got all 1,000 in. Same thing with Planet of Lana. So but scrolling on down here, my number one game I played in 2023, no real surprise here to me, Starfield. Put 57 hours into it. I was in the top 25% as far as active players this year for Starfield, so that's probably there. And also I'm kind of surprised, honestly, top 25%. I mean, I'm in there. I figured that's a game probably people invest hundreds of like 100 hours into immediately. Number two game played this year, no surprise to me either, Wolong Fallen Dynasty, a game I fell in love with. My first Souls-like game that I actually really liked. Put 36 hours. That was the main game. I put another like 6 hours into the demo because I just got really into just playing the demo. And I was in the top 10% of actual active players. I actually got 47 of the 50 main achievements in that game. The only three I didn't get was like I missed two collectibles in the game, and the game doesn't tell you which collectibles you missed. So I really didn't want to like basically replay the whole game again to figure out where I missed them at. But yeah, I was really close to basically getting the platinum of Xbox, whatever you want to call that. And then number three here, Outer Worlds. Put 22 hours into that game. That was a game I played like in June when my parents' dog Gunner, 5-year-old bulldog, he got cancer earlier this year. Fortunately, he passed away in late June. But I had a week off of work, and it just kind of happened in that time frame where I had a week off of work, and like literally the week before we found out he had cancer. So he was on a bunch of medication and stuff like that. So I brought my Xbox Series S over to my parents' house every day. And this was just kind of my comfort game I played while taking care of him, like in between, like because he basically needed constant, like basically when he wasn't sleeping, we had to like take care of him 24/7. So yeah, I played that this year, and still somehow in the top 10%. So a lot of people apparently played Outer Worlds this year. So I don't know, maybe like Outer Worlds 2 got announced last year or something. But yeah, so that is that's my Xbox year review. Gables, what's yours?
Okie dokie. So where to start here? All right. So for the total of the amount of time I spent playing this year on the Xbox, it was a total of 54 hours.
Okay.
There was about 25 games that I initially did play. There was a lot of things in chunks. I was basically playing them like in between like other big releases at the time on top of whatever else was going on. Total gamer score increase though was like about 1,055 with like 92 total achievements. Let's see. The top gameplay month I had was in January, which doesn't surprise me.
Was that Vampire Survivor?
Yes, actually, because of how much I was playing Vampire Survivor at the end of December, it did drip into January as well, and that's my number one most played game on my Xbox, like my Xbox Series S at the time here, and it was 24 hours played with like about 470 gamer score, 51 of the 196, and this is before like even delving into like DLC stuff. But on top of that, for the other two games, I played Power Wash Simulator. That one was like for about 9 hours.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Dude, I don't know what it is. I felt really cathartic while playing that game, and it actually made me feel like much more motivated to go forth and actually want to do tasks around the house. So by doing like playing Power Wash Simulator. So that, I thought that was very surprising, but at the same time, it was one of those, oh yeah, I did play that this year. But the third one is actually something a little bit more recent. I played the definitive version of Killer Instinct that just released. That was only for a couple of hours. But like I've said before, all the other games that I had played this year on the Xbox were in little chunks, like say like a half hour or an hour interval or something. So I played a little bit of Cocoon here, or played a little bit of Planet of Lana here, or played like a little bit of like Hi-Fi Rush or Starfield or something. It was just dabs, little things just to see what hit. But as far as like any type of other percentages, I mean, I'm not really too sure. I mean, the biggest, from what this thing was initially saying to me, is like the top genres that I played most of this year were like half of them were shooter, which that's pretty funny.
Is Vampire Survivor a shooter? I don't know.
I think it's more like an action adventure sort of thing, yeah, personally, maybe. But I'm trying to think of, okay, shooter, but what the hell did I play that was roughly related to shooter? I mean, this is almost the exact opposite of those three of them.
What was your number two again?
Number two was Power Wash Simulator.
That's technically a shooter. It's an FPS game.
Oh, well, it's first person, and I am like, I am using it sort of like how I'd use a gun in the games, I guess. Yeah. Oh, yes. But yeah, that's pretty much my game review for the Xbox.
All right, cool. Do you want to do PlayStation or Nintendo next?
You know what? Why don't we go with PlayStation next?
All right. Do you want me to go first this time again?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll do a share screen here and go to me. Bam. All right. So no surprise here. First game I played on PlayStation this year was on January 1st. Madden NFL 23. I played 37 games in the year. It's crazy. I played more game. I played 56 games on the Xbox, 37 on PlayStation. I guess that's probably because of Game Pass, though. Moving on here. Next slide we got here. Bam. All right. So no surprise here. My number one most played game. 106 hours on Madden NFL 23. 77 hours for number two game of the year, Madden NFL 24. Combined, they took up 36% of my game time was playing Madden, basically. Number three game, Final Fantasy 16. That's not including playing the DLC. So that is, 65 hours, Final Fantasy 16. Marvel Spider-Man 2 took up 30 hours. That surprised me. I got the platinum in that game. And then number five here, Star Wars Jedi Survivor with 28 hours. So that's my top five for the year. We can just go to the next slide here. Boom. 36% on Madden. There it is. All right. Next up. So this is month by month. Yeah. So in January, I played 49 hours of games in January. 20 of those hours was Madden in January. It's a kind of fun. I like this like month by month thing because it kind of like breaks it up a little bit. Oh, wait, where'd it go? How do I go? Do I have to scroll down? Scroll down. February again, Madden NFL 23. March, Madden NFL 23. April, here we go. Horizon Forbidden West. I played the, I jumped back into the game to get used to the controls again before Burning Shores came out. And then I played Burning Shores. So I played 18 hours of Horizon Forbidden West in April. May with Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I played 21 hours in May. That came out the end of April. So that makes sense. In June, I played 13 hours of Final Fantasy 16. That's because it came out like June 29th. And then July, I played 48 hours of Final Fantasy 16. August, new Madden came out. So 16 hours of Madden NFL 24. September, 29 hours of Madden NFL 24. And also September, I was playing Starfield all month, basically. So then October, 19 hours of Marvel Spider-Man 2. November, I played 27. Wow. So I played 27 hours of Alan Wake 2. To just an hour shy of being my fifth most played game of the year. And then December with only just a couple days on it, 8 hours of Fortnite. So, that's that for going on, moving on here. I don't know if there's any more interesting stats in here. I don't think there is. Here we go. 498 hours played, on my PS5 this year. It says I played 99.6% of my game time on the PS5, but I honestly don't know where else I would have played games on. So I don't know what that 0.04, that 0.4 is. I earned 359 trophies, one platinum. I went from my trophy level went from 361 to 368. Apparently I'm a party animal because I did 8 parties this year. I'm sure 7 of those were probably during Extra Life with you. That's pretty much it. Gables on that one. What about you, buddy?
All right. So mine's going to be a little bit vastly different from yours. As far as hours played in general for the PlayStation 5, I spent about 154 hours, where I spent 77.27% of my game time playing 14 games on the PS5. Let's see. So in terms of my top five here, number five was Dodgeball Academia, which I played like about a couple of hours on that. Number four was a game I actually did play quite a bit. I think I actually played like about 4 or 5 hours of, and that was Mortal Kombat X, because I was playing through that initial story mode, because I had a hankering to play some Mortal Kombat X, because Maximilian Dude and stuff, with his hype stuff before Mortal Kombat 1. Number three on this list is Destiny 2, but I only spent about 16 hours the entire year playing Destiny 2 because of the Lightfall expansion, and it did not hit at all. Because if that thing had hit, this would have been the number one. This probably would have been my number one thing played.
Yeah.
But number two is AEW Fight Forever, and that was like about 35, I think, ish hours.
Okay, yeah.
I spent on that game because think of it this way, Tyler. I almost got the platinum for this game.
Yeah, no, you played you loved that game, so yeah.
Yeah, I loved how the game played. I mean, granted, there were a bunch of hiccups. I didn't really like a lot of like the online wrestling stuff of it. Plus that Fortnite-esque type of like
Stadium Stampede.
like Stadium Stampede and stuff, where it was just basically a colossal battle royale that was just, you know, just a little bit more like, meh, in the middle type of stuff. Yeah, it didn't really attract me all that much. I decided just to play a whole bunch of like just matches and stuff, just trying out different wrestlers, doing all this other stuff, creating my own wrestlers and stuff. It's basically kind of like I wanted in terms of a wrestling game. But the number one game should be no surprise here, and I spent the vast majority of June playing it, was Vampire Street Fighter Survivors. 6. No,
okay.
Street Fighter 6. Street Fighter 6, 58 hours playing this. 34 trophies earned. Jeez. About 37% of my play time was spent playing Street Fighter 6, going through the major, just going through the entire like open world sort of like story mode as it was and stuff, like fighting against like different fighters, like getting my character up to the extent of where I wanted them and stuff, doing the social aspects, playing against people online. Damn, it was fun. It was honestly one of my favorite games of the year because of how much the characters felt natural, how things, it was basically a complete opposite of what I felt when Street Fighter V launched. I think Capcom did such a fantastic job to where with Street Fighter VI, I just wanted to play it out of the gate, which I did, bought it digitally, went all in, had a hell of a time, spent near 60 hours playing it. And my gaming style, it should come as no surprise, it's Brawler, where I spent 67% of my game time taking names and chewing bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's about it for the PlayStation stuff.
All right. Well, let's move on to Nintendo then. I'll go first again here. I'm going to switch back to a share screen.
Yep.
All right. Let's take it from the top here. So first game of the year I played was Picross X. I'm a big fan of Picross Gables, and I didn't like this one. It's not a normal Picross game. But anyways, I played 15 total games this year, 119 total hours of game time on my Switch. So by far the least amount. I did 119 on this, 260 on the Xbox, and 498 on the PlayStation. So by far my least amount, but still quite a bit of time. 15 total games, but a lot of those were like, I mean, like you see here, it has like, if you're watching on YouTube, it has like the NES system, then it has Game Boy and stuff like that. So really it was like only like five or six. It was like Picross, Advance Wars, Zelda, Mario, RPG, and Mario Wonder, and Metroid Prime. Moving on here, though, most played this year, we have Legends of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom at 67 hours. We have Advance Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, 23 hours. Yeah. Mario Wonder is number 3 at 12 hours. So pretty big drop off after.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What happens if I scroll over here? Okay, so 6-7 hours. Okay, I played that. Okay, that's all this. All right. Scrolling over here, gaming trends, 46% action, 36% adventure, 12% strategy, 3% role-playing, 2% shooting, 1% puzzle. Most played month was May. No surprise there with Zelda came out in May. I do like this here. It has a breakdown of my months. And then you can see like multiple months where I just didn't play. So February, I had 5 hours. So I didn't have January at all. April, I had 25. That's because Advance Wars. May, I had 54 hours because I was playing Zelda. And then I was playing Zelda still in June. So 14 hours there. Then I didn't have anything until October with 4 hours. I don't know what I played there. I think I played Mario Wonder. And then in November, I played more Mario Wonder in November with 13 hours. I played like 4 hours of Metroid Prime Remastered. I think, is that pretty much it? That's pretty much it for that one, Gables. What about you, buddy?
Okay, so as far as games that I've played this year on the Nintendo Switch, I'm going to see if I can categorize them through like what I've played here in terms of hours. So at 45 hours, Vampire Survivors.
I would have, see, it would have been funny if you had Vampire Survivors on PlayStation as well, and like it was just your most played game on all three consoles.
Actually, that would have been pretty funny, but
I guess it's not on PlayStation, so you can't do it. Never mind.
But got 45 hours of Vampire Survivors, 35 hours of Metroid Prime Remastered. So that was that one right there. And the next one, I have like around 28 hours of Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Not nearly enough.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how much I got going right here. Then the next one, let's see, F-Zero 99, which is like about over 25 hours.
Jesus Christ.
But the next ones after that, though, it's like a tie here between like Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Wonder, and actually the Pokemon Scarlet expansion here with like 15 hours apiece.
Wow.
But other than that, though, I mean, I just have little odds and ends, like hours here and there. But the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is the last one. The Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, like BP, was like about 5 hours I took playing that because I played through the entirety of the different tracks.
Oh, yeah, you waited until it all came out. That's right. Yeah.
I waited until it all came out until I actually played it. And I didn't keep in terms of like gameplay hours based upon the other little apps and stuff through like the NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis, 64, that type of stuff. Yeah. I just wanted to see just the games that like released on the Switch this year, which Vampire Survivors did technically release this year on the Switch. So I'm just having it on there.
Yeah.
But 187 hours. That's how much I spent in terms of time, like playing all the different games that released in 2023 on the Switch. And for the most played month, I would think that the most played was, if I had to give it a sum right here, it has to be like the month of November, because I got a lot of like Vampire Survivors stuff gone through and like just played in that number.
Plus Mario RPG and Wonder.
Yeah, Mario RPG and Wonder as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Mario Kart 8 DLC came out in November as well. So
yeah. So plus F-Zero. Definitely a big enough like month and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just did the math real fast. So according to, if you combine the three consoles for me, time wise, I played 877 hours of game time this year. That is just over 36 and a half days. So,
oh my God,
playing games.
So if I add what I did with Nintendo here with like the 54 hours of the Xbox, now I gotta go check the PlayStation thing here. Okay. So add the 154 right here. So that means for me, it's like 395 hours.
Okay. All right. That's 395 divided by 24. About 16 and a half days. So
yeah.
I had 20 more days of gameplay. This year, Jesus Christ. But it's funny though, is like, I mean, like, man, I play a lot of games, and then like, other friends of ours that have like their parents, like they have kids, so they have full-time jobs. Uh-huh. And like our other friends, like they're around our age, that I see posting their times, and like they're just like just lapping me in game time. I'm like man,
I don't get it.
I'm just like, I'm like, I don't know. Like one friend of ours had like 1700 hours on PS5. I was like, I don't even know how you do that. I don't know if they have the other consoles, I should say, but like I was like, fuck, man. Like, or like one of our friends, Josh, you know, he's a dad, has a wife and a kid and full-time job. And he had more time playing games this year than I did. But I got, the only difference is, I guess, is like, you know, I play way more games than these people. Like they play like maybe half dozen to a dozen maybe. And like I probably dabbled in close to 100 this year. So, but anyways, let's get into the actual meat and potatoes here. We're gonna go through here. We have the Game Informer list, calendar here. We're gonna go through one by one. We're gonna go through the months, and you know, if we see something here we want to stop and talk about, Gables, we'll get into it. I think it's always kind of fun to do this because like sometimes we forget about a lot of shit that happens throughout the year, and it's crazy because like in a lot of ways, like it's like you forget the games that came out, but it's just this year's flown by, but also. So it's like some shit feels like it wasn't that long ago, but also some shit feels like it's a decade ago. So, let's just get into it. Gables here. We're in January. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see here where you can scroll along with us as we go here through the Game Informer list. So if you're just listening to the show, we'll talk about, we'll mention them, but if you want to follow along visually, please go to our YouTube channel. Look down in the description below. You see a link to our YouTube channel and just click on the video. But Gables,
yes.
Scroll through here. I don't know. Let me know if there's something sticking out to you here. Oops, shit, that's a little fast. Space for the Unbound. I played that this year. Love that game. It's kind of a puzzle, like a point and click adventure game. I love the story. I love all of the characters. I just not a point and click adventure guy, but I thought that game was beautiful. And a lot of people are like raving about that potentially being like an indie game of the year or one of their games of the year. It's just, I played like 6 hours of it. And I was like, I'm really loving the story, but I just am not enjoying playing this game. So, like Persona 4, Shin Megami Tensei, Persona 3, Fire Emblem Engage.
With Fire Emblem Engage, for me, I mean, I bought it initially, played it for like a good solid hour, but honestly, it didn't really hit for me and stuff at the time, so that really much did by the wayside for the start of the year, because I think I was still playing a bit of Vampire Survivor still at that point, plus Metroid Prime Remastered was about to be coming out soon anyway, so yeah, unfortunately, it did kind of go by the wayside, but I could still play the main game plus the DLC portion of it as well.
Yeah. And like Forspoken came out, I bought that game. I was trying to be optimistic. Like, I was like, I just thought like the people were overreacting to like the PR going into it.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I thought it was still overblown when I played that. I played like about 8 hours of the game. I just thought the game, like, it wasn't bad. It was just like, I feel like the reviews are like kind of spot on. I think it would like ended up being like a 67 on like OpenCritic and stuff. I'm like, it's spot on. Like, the game's not bad, but it's just like, it's not like, I wouldn't say like go out of your way to play this game. But if like, I don't know, you want to play a map game, but it's not like, you know, it's different. It's not just a FPS map game. It's not a first person shooter map game, but I don't know. It's not a bad game. It's just, man, I remember the biggest thing I remember most about Forspoken was I had this game. But I had like a vacation coming up, so I was like waiting to play it for my vacation. But then we had the Xbox showcase or the Xbox Developer Direct, and they shadow dropped Hi-Fi Rush, and I grabbed the copy of Forspoken and I looked at it. I said, "You're fucked," and I threw it across the room because that Hi-Fi Rush trailer was so goddamn good. So yeah, that's like the thing I remember most about Forspoken. But Hi-Fi Rush, my god, what a goddamn game! I fucking love that goddamn game. I hope we get more of that game. I know they did that DLC early this year, but it's like arena stuff. So I don't know. That's not really. I just want like give me like two more levels. I'll pay like $10 for like a couple more hours of gameplay. I don't even care. Hopefully it was successful enough to get a sequel, because that was legitimately probably one of my like most enjoyed games of the year as far as like just having pure fun. Like it took me like 12 hours to beat that game, but it was like. It wasn't super long, but it was just like it was just a good time, you know. Like I play all these big huge games this year. I play like Zelda, Final Fantasy 16, Starfield, all these big huge like Spider-Man and like Star Wars, stuff like that. But it's like they're like very story driven and like can be kind of dark and can be heavy at times. And this was just like bright and colorful, and the music was fucking awesome, and just like it was just a great time. It's probably my most fun part of the year as far as gaming goes. Next up here, Dead Space Remake. January is quietly a pretty good month here. Awesome. I remember about this time last year, I was like, Callisto Protocol came out, and I was like, man, I wonder if Dead Space is gonna be in trouble because of Callisto Protocol coming out. Because like, instead it was the opposite. We're like, man, Callisto Protocol was in a lot of trouble because Dead Space was coming out soon. And that game ended up being kind of meh, and like Dead Space was just like awesome. They totally did a great job of like, it was very much like if you could have told me like Capcom, like the Resident Evil Capcom team did a remake of Dead Space, and I would have believed you, because that was like the quality of it was like fucking perfect. Making up modern day Dead Space game. And then also kind of a nice little shadow drop here, we had GoldenEye 007 coming to everything, but unfortunately you can only play the game online on the goddamn fucking Switch.
So. Yeah, that's I know, that was like a monkey's paw sort of thing, to where people want a golden eye on every like on the systems and stuff, but the only way they could play online was with the Switch, and the only way they can get like a decent control style is playing it on the Xbox.
Yeah. We went here to February though, Gables. We had Metroid Prime Remastered. Yeah, that got shadow dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty awesome. I remember we did like an emergency Nintendo Direct podcast because of it was actually ended up being that was a really good Direct.
Yes.
I think was Mario. I think Mario Wonder was announced at that Direct. Was it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was announced. It at was that or direct, the June though. One.
I can't remember which one.
I think it was the June.
Maybe you're one. Right. What was that? This. What was that? The Metro Prime Remastered. Was there anything else revealed?
There was more Tears of the Kingdom.
We might have got a trailer for Tears of the Kingdom. Maybe you're right.
We got that epic trailer or some of Tears of the Kingdom that came out during that same time.
Well, we had that. We had the big one like in I think yeah. it was like April or something.
Yes.
Because that was just separate. I remember.
Yes, yes. I think you're. I think about it. You're probably right. Because all I remember from that direct is that Metroid Prime Remastered dropped on the same day, and that game was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was freaking crazy how good they remastered that game.
Yeah, yeah. So, pretty cool little thing. We had a couple nice little shadow drops at the beginning of the year. So, just kind of scrolling through here to see if anything else stands out. Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line came out.
Yeah, you know what? That game wasn't too bad. I mean, the only reason why I didn't get the main game of it is because everything else decided to drop, and so that kind of left a. It kind of left me at a space to where, hey, do I actually want to try these games out here, or could I just put this to the wayside? And I kind of put like Theater Rhythm by the wayside, but it's still a fun game. I mean, I tried the demo, a couple different platforms. It was fairly fun, but it just got lost in the shuffle for me this year.
Yeah, I remember like so Wild Hearts came out in mid-February as well, and I remember like, I've always like. Like the idea of getting into like the Monster Hunter games, but I was sitting there kind of like obtuse, like just the way they controlled, the way things worked, and like the online shit. Right. And then like Wild Hearts, like God, I can't remember who made was that. Wasn't was it team? That wasn't Team Ninja, was it? I can't remember who it was. But anyways,
Koei Tecmo.
Maybe I think you're right. I think it was Koei Tecmo. But like I remember like being really excited. I'm like, oh, this just seems like with like modern controls and like. It was an EA original game, and like so you could play because if you had Game Pass Ultimate, you have EA Play, so you're able to play like the first like basically you could play the first 10 hours, but you could play like, the first like area of the game. It was like 5 hours. I played that whole section. I remember enjoying it, but I was just like I had like a lot of fun with it. I wasn't loving it, but I was enjoying it. And I was like, oh, I might actually like pick up the game here when it comes out. And then like. Reviews came out and like a lot of people were talking about this game's like it was like 60 to 80 hours long. I'm like, never mind. Like I enjoyed the game I enjoyed the 5 hours I played of the game. It's on Game Pass now. So if you want to, I'm not gonna jump back into it, but like I thought that game was actually really good. But not a game that like for me I'm gonna want to spend 68 hours in. If you would have told me it was like a 20 hour game, I'm like, hell yeah, I would have bought it. But like yeah, that's no 68 hours, no thank you. Hard pass. Next up here, Atomic Heart. That was another Game Pass day one game. I remember when we did our top 10 games of the year for 2023 prediction, and I had Atomic Heart in there because I was super pumped for that game. I'm like, oh man, this looks like a game that like, oh, it's like a Eastern European team made a BioShock style game, and I was like, man, this looks fucking awesome. And I'm playing it, I'm like. This game is just mid as hell. This feels like a game that tried to make a BioShock game. But I mean, it had the jank there of like an Eastern European game that I expected, but I was like, I just can't wait, like not enjoying the combat. I felt like the idea of the world and everything going on was kind of cool, but it was very much like it, but it was kind of too on the nose of like, hey, we're a BioShock Infinite ripoff. But yeah, the game kind of just came out and I was just like, whatever. I don't know. I'm looking here. Like a Dragon Ishin came out. I didn't play that one though.
I played a little bit of that one. That one wasn't too bad either. I mean, I really love the setup of the start of the story, but much like Theater Rhythm and stuff, that one kind of went by the wayside as this was like one of the few games that I just played little chunks of on Game Pass.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Remember February 22nd, Gables, the PSVR 2 came out.
I had completely forgotten this came out.
I think PlayStation did too.
Yeah, we heard nothing about it other than, like, say, the few updates that it had for specific games and plus certain third parties. Yeah, you could see it. I basically can see the PSVR 2 at my local retailer. I think only one has actually sold throughout the whole extent it's been out.
Yeah. It came out. I mean, VRs are very expensive. VR headsets are very expensive. And yeah, it's a niche market. And I feel like that, you know, it's about bubbles bursting in 2023. Oh, yeah. I don't know if VR has, because like MetaQuest seems to be doing okay. But
PlayStation VR, definitely.
Yeah, I think maybe that was just kind of a not a smart move to put that out. I'm just like, it's funny, you could just see all the launch games that came out, and it's just like a ton of like either games that were on the original VR, PlayStation VR, or were like are just ports of
yep.
MetaQuest games and shit like that. And it's like, really, it's like we had like Gran Turismo 7 VR, Horizon Call of the Mountain, which I heard was just like a good tech demo. Resident Evil Village, that's something.
It's basically its own platform with its own select few like tech demos.
Yeah. Next appear, oddly enough, February 24th, we had Kirby's Return to Dream Land Deluxe and Octopath Traveler 2.
Yeah. Both of them released in that same month. You know, that's it's awesome, though, because you have a remastered of a great Kirby game that was on the Wii, and then all of a sudden you have probably one of the more underrated JRPGs of the year, if not just RPGs in general of the year, Octopath Traveler 2, where it was overshadowed, obviously, by the big old elephant in the room being Baldur's Gate 3. Didn't get any type of nominations, even inside the Game Awards. But I've heard quite a few things from people that fairly enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Heard a lot. Yeah, a lot of people are raving about Octopath Traveler 2. So, it's funny. Here's a there's a mistake here. They have Brothers of Tales of Two Sons remake for February 28th, but that game is coming out in 2024. So that is wrong. But speaking of February 28th, Gables, we had Destiny 2 Lightfall.
Dude, that was one of the biggest disappointments of the year, because Bungie hyped that one up to be like one of the biggest like expansions or something like that they were going to release and stuff for the year. And it ended up becoming like a side distraction, a filler arc type of expansion to where, oh god, I did not like the characters and stuff in this expansion. It felt like it was completely like a non-factor. And on top of that, throughout all the other types of woes that Bungie had throughout this rest of this year, through laying off workers, through this or that and stuff. Yeah, my interest in Destiny 2 after beating Lightfall, I mean, it just became non-existent, because I just spent the initial couple of days like playing through the campaign, maybe play like a couple of missions with my friends or something at the time, and then I did not go back.
Yeah. Next up here, we're in March now. Wolong Fallen Dynasty. I talked about that already. Like, just that demo coming out, and like, just more games should just have the demo come out like a week before it comes out.
Yeah.
And like, hey, whatever you do in the demo carries over to the main game. Like, that should just be like a thing that everybody does now. Cause that was the reason I ended up getting really into Wolong. I got like super into that demo, beat the first boss. I had to grind a fuck ton in that opening area. Like, it's the first two areas to like beat the bosses and beat the whole demo. So then I was super overpowered throughout basically. And then I just stayed that way through the entire, I think I ended up like, I was like, my level was like 100, I was like level 140 or something, when I finally beat that game. So. Like, I think, well, like, you're supposed to be, like, in level, like, in the 80s when you, like, is what they recommend by the end, so.
But, well, hell, the fact you can do that inside that game to where you can get so overpowered and also transfer it to the main game because they allowed that transfer and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was incredibly intelligent on their part and stuff, because they kind of figured that people would go and do exactly just that. Because I did the same thing when I played the Wulong demo, and that first boss fight, man, that wasn't that... It wasn't as readily as bad as, like, say, how you kind of tackled it for the first time, because I did do a whole bunch of leveling beforehand. I tried to get used to the controls, try to see what initial stuff I could do, and yeah, it was pretty fun for what it was worth.
Yeah, and just being a Game Pass Day 1 game was perfect. And it came out a perfect time, too, for me, because it wasn't a lot that came out before that, and there wasn't a lot coming out for a little while after that either for me, so it's like a perfect game to, like, and plus, you know, it's like... It's early March, and so it was cold outside, so you're stuck inside. So it was like the perfect game to play during that stretch. And I just had a blast. It was my first Souls-like game I actually really got into, and yeah, absolutely love the game. And I love how fast it was too. It was very, so, you know, very fast paced. Like Lies of P, I tried to get into earlier this year, and thought it was just the combat was just too slow for me. I didn't like it. So moving on here, we got Dead Cells Return to Castlevania.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Yeah. Just looking here. Bayonetta Origins, Cereza, and the Lost Demon. And we had WWE 2K23 come out the same day.
I'll say this, man. I mean, as less of what we do hear about Bayonetta, like Origins, I did manage to go through and play the demo of that. I was actually kind of curious about like playing that game. So when I did see it initially on sale for like almost half off, I did pick that one up. But in terms of the WWE game, I'm actually fairly surprised at how well critically like reviewed it was.
Yeah,
you know, it's like rated higher than what certain other wrestling games at the time and stuff were getting, especially upon the 2K line.
Yeah, well, I've reviewed wrestling games in a long time, so it's just like from what I understand, like the sales were way less than last year's, but it makes sense because it was like a year and a half, 2 year gap between games.
Yeah.
So yeah. Next up, though, we have Resident Evil 4 Remake. March 24th. Fucking.
Oh yeah.
What a goddamn game! Like, it was like,
that's a freaking good game. Man.
For years, we knew that remake was coming. And I was so nervous because, you know, Resident Evil 4 is one of my favorite games of all time. Beat that game more than the other game. And I was like, please just don't fuck it up. Like, find the cheese. Like, there's ways you can modernize it, make the controls better, make everything like that. And like, you know, but man, like, they kept the cheese. They had the charm. Leon was still great. All the characters were still really good. Blown away. And like, they also like made the game so much bigger than the original game. And like took a lot of cut content and turned it into like, you put it into the game and everything like that. And like, blown away by just how well that came out. And it's like, honestly, it's a better game than the original one was. So, next up, Gables, your game of the year, Crime Boss, Rocket City, March 28th. So, I know you're pretty happy about that. I remember Gables when they put out on April Fool's Day. They just actually released for free the Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah,
I totally forgot that happened.
The surprising part about it is people actually liked it.
Yeah, I heard it finally put out a good Sonic game. It was a joke game of all things. Fucking hilarious that happened. Looking here, Minecraft Legends came out in April. Heard that was pretty good. People were pretty happy about that one. Kind of feels like it just came and went. Final Fantasy Pixel Remasters came out as well in April.
Yeah. I remember this coming out, and I remember people being kind of like, kind of curious about the getting the games and stuff, seeing it was going to come out like on Switch and on PS4 and stuff. But people were more shocked about the initial cost of the physical version because it was like about $75 to about $80-something.
If you wanted to buy them separately, it was like more expensive. So,
but again, you were getting a good package too because you're basically getting the Final Fantasy 1-6 in some meaty games.
Yeah, yeah. I remember like this kept selling out like immediately though. So, next year, Horizon Forbidden West, Burning Shores. I talked about it like when we did the PSN wrap up stuff. I absolutely love that. Like, it was like, I was surprised just how much content was in it. It was like it wasn't like a full game, but like, honestly, if you put like a little bit more into it, they could have made it like its own, like expand alone, kind of like Miles Morales and like Uncharted Lost Legacies. Like, there's legitimately, like, I think I put like 10, 12 hours into it, and there's a good chunk of other stuff in there. Like, I mean, just a little bit more like story content maybe. And like, it could have been its own. Like, you could have, I think they charged $20 for it. Like, for a little bit, they put a little bit more into it. That could make it for $50, and like, I would have been totally fine with it. Like, for how good the story was, and like that final boss fight, honestly, like, just how big and awesome that boss, like, honestly, one of the coolest boss fights ever in the franchise of that game. And there's a lot of great boss fights in that game. And like, a couple of the new enemies that are made for this DLC were fucking awesome. Like, I could not believe how much was into, like, how much they put into that. Because sometimes, I saw in the last episode from last week that we did, it's been a couple hours for us, but, like, you know, I was shocked by Final Fantasy 16, the DLC for that, and the God of War Valhalla. I was like, oh, my God, like, how, like, you know, like, Echoes of the Fallen DLC was $10. Valhalla was free. It's like you could have charged me way more, and I probably would have been fine with it. And like, I'm happy you didn't. Don't get me wrong, but like, I was like, I remember when I saw the price for $20 for Burning Shores, I was like, uh-oh, and it turned out to be fucking awesome. Next appear, oh yeah, that same day, April 19th, there was that I remember that Nindies Direct, because like Testigrad 2 and Testigrad Remastered were shadow dropped. I remember like really liking Testigrad when I played on the Wii U way back in the day. Like that game was like a really great puzzle platformer, but it's so fucking hard. That was like the complaint from everybody, was that game was like incredibly hard. I think Testigrad 2, they have like an easier mode, because that game, like, I loved, like, I really wanted to keep playing the game, but like, it's just at a certain point, I'm like, this isn't fun anymore. April 21st, Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. I was super pumped for that game. I beat the first one. I could not put it down, but kind of burned myself out on it. I put like 25. I beat that game. It was like 25 hours long, and I just never went back to 2 though. But I really liked it.
It definitely was pretty fun for what I had a chance to play of it too. I mean, yeah, man, just going back to the classic style of Advance Wars, and then just like visiting the old like SEOs and stuff, and doing a bunch of different rounds and stuff against the enemy armies and stuff. I mean, that was fun. That was fun little, like, that was a fun little play and stuff.
Yeah. Dead Island 2 came out April 21st as well. I mean, I think that has to go down as the prize of the year. We didn't play that game, but like,
yes.
I think going through multiple different developers and publishers, being canceled, and like that game, like just coming out, and like we all thought that game was gonna be shit. It came out and it was like, I think it was like it's like a mid to high 70s, which,
yeah,
you know, like really, I mean, for expectation wise, that's incredible. And that game like sold multiple millions of copies. So like, I'm that game, like, yeah, like I, hats off to everybody involved for actually,
yeah,
just that game coming out and actually being really good. So, and the fact it sold really well too, for, you know, for Dead Island 2, that's awesome. So, go through Last Case of Benedict Fox. I remember that was a Game Pass day one game. I was so pumped for that game. It looked like that was like definitely a my shit, indie game. And that game came out, and I didn't even bother playing. I just heard it was bad. It's like, God damn it. I'm so pumped for that game.
Well, that's the thing though. I did go through and try playing it and stuff, and I was bored after about the first initial hour, because,
yeah,
there were some aspects of the gameplay that was kind of wonky, but some of the level design stuff I really wasn't too much of a fan for, so I just deleted it.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't even bother booting it up after I read everything about it. So, next up here, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, April 28th. I was blown away by that game. I know the game came out, a lot of people had bug issues, and I was one of the lucky ones where I had some weird technical hiccups, but I didn't have like any major issues. But I ended up like, you know, like I came away pretty lukewarm on the first, was that Fallen Order? Fallen Order. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. And like, I replayed that game earlier this year. Plus when the first one came out at launch, it was like, I had a lot of issues with bugs in that game. So it really soured my time with it. I went back and I played it again, earlier this year, and it came away, and I was like, that's a pretty good game. And like, it's definitely like, this felt like that first game was like, they were on the right track, but the sequel was like where they like really got everything working together and like found a way to build upon that. And like, man, I thought that story was awesome. It's the first time like in a very long time where like I actually like something Star Wars. I don't know, like since like Rogue One, is the first time I've really liked something from Star Wars. And like, man, I was blown away by it. Like, I really like Cal Kestis. I like all the characters in the game. Like, I love that story. And man, the gameplay was awesome. I love that game. Incredible game. Man, kind of want to go back and replay that game. But let's move on to May here. Gables, remember Redfall?
How could I not remember Redfall?
God.
After that disastrous launch. And oh man, it definitely will go down as one of the biggest disappointments of the year.
Yeah, unfortunately. I wasn't like excited for that game, but I was looking forward to it. Like, I thought like, oh man, it's an Arcane. I know it's Arcane Austin. It's not the main Arcane game, Arcane studio. But I'm like, I figured out worse. This game was going to be like a 8 out of 10. And like, in fact, it was like one of the worst reviewed like AAA games of the year. It's pretty stunning. I took a major L on our Open Critic league, our Fantasy Critic league this year for that one. I think I think it was like a 55 or something on that. So I lost like 15 points or something. But yeah, man, what a bummer. So bad that Phil Spencer had to go on the X cast and apologize for like an hour and a half. Ravenlock was really another Game Pass day one game. Just a really great like Alice in Wonderland style, like kind of story, and like just a fun, like I got all 1,000 achievement points in that game, and like I 100%ed it in like 3 hours. I'm like, just the perfect, it's a perfect game that came out at the perfect time for me. Nice little, like, you know, kind of a palate cleanser, coming from like Star Wars, going into one of the biggest games of the year, one of the greatest games of all time, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know what else.
Absolutely.
I don't know what else to say, Gables. Like, we'll talk about, it's like, I imagine we're both going to be talking about it next week when we do our game of the year. Or maybe in 2 weeks if it's in the top five. Who knows? But man, what a fucking goddamn game that was. I mean, to actually, like, to, like, be a sequel to one of the greatest games of all time and to borderline make the Breath of the Wild irrelevant because of, like, I don't know if I'd ever want to go back and play Breath of the Wild after Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know if I could go back to play Breath of the Wild because of Tears of the Kingdom. It's so much better than the first game. So,
dude, there's so many good elements inside of Tears of the Kingdom that makes it, like you said, incredibly hard to even attempt to go back to Breath of the Wild because the new mechanics make traversing everything so much better. You're not spent a lot of the times like just climbing upon things. You can just use like Ultra Hand stuff to go forth and maybe zip up to a cliff or like create something to try to fly to different places or like concoct different things or defeat enemies a certain way, you know, by just doing a bunch of crazy stuff. You can go and like glue all of the other shit together and create yourself like a plane or create yourself a thing that'll get you to the next objective, you know. Just the amount of things you can do and that they allow the player to do inside that game while doing things in the main quest stuff, it's incredible.
Yeah. I put like, I think it was like 45 hours in before I even touched the main story. So yeah, brilliant game. Planet of Lana, May 23rd. Absolutely love that game. It's you know, somebody that loves like Limbo style games and just misses like, you know, those Play Dead games, and it's nice to have like really love the game. I got all 1,000 achievement points in that game too. Perfect, like another like nice little palate cleanser there. Kind of playing that in between some other major games coming out. Oh yeah, Gables, remember Lord of the Rings Gollum? Jesus Christ! We go from Tears of the Kingdom to Gollum and Redfall in May.
Oh my God, dude!
Jesus.
Yeah, that's that trend where we had at one point a gradual decline on some of the various quality of AAA games, to where you had Redfall that performed terribly, and then Gollum was touted one of the worst game releases of the generation.
Yeah, yeah, that was the first game announced for PS5 and Xbox Series S and X.
Yes. Gollum,
and it's one of the worst games of all time. Going into June here, we had a nice little stretch here. We had Street Fighter 6 and Diablo 4 come out the same goddamn week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I made the better choice in investing in Street Fighter 6.
I don't know, Gables. I'm looking at MotoGP 23. Yeah, Crime Boss Rock City came to consoles in June. That's pretty cool. Nothing? Okay. Oh yeah, Crash Team Rumble. I forgot they made a, I forgot they fucking made that game.
Forget that they made that game. I actually didn't know this at the time though, but they had tie-in advertisements at McDonald's too for like Happy Meal toys and shit.
Jesus Christ, that's funny. Okay. Wow. Oh yeah. Fucking Rogue Legacy 2 came out. One of like a sequel to like one of the biggest indie games of all time. And like no one talks about it. Like it's like a great game that just nobody talked about.
I mean, granted, it was on the Xbox stuff like during the last year and stuff.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, maybe that's why. I thought it was this year. Okay, well, fuck me then. Never mind. Pikmin 1 and 2 got we had that June. They got Shadow dropped during the June Nintendo Direct, so that came out. Dr. Fetus, the Mean Meat Machine came out. That's the sequel to Meat Boy. That's pretty cool. Final Fantasy 16, my boy Clive. I was introduced to the love of my life, Ben Starr, as well. I talked about that a lot already. My most played game of the year, probably, outside of Madden. Fucking awesome. Sonic Origins Plus, that's too bad. AEW Fight Forever, Gables, June 29th. So,
like I said, though, I mean, the game in and of itself, it plays fun. I mean, it's a solid core foundation of a wrestling game. But you know what? It definitely was held back in terms of certain features that could have been ironed out better. Definitely could have had like a better online mode to it. And in some aspects, it was kind of disappointing, but I really enjoyed my time just screwing around into EW Fight Forever. I mean,
Yeah.
I really did. And it's definitely the type of old school type of wrestling game I've been wanting to play for a while.
Yeah, definitely scratch that itch that we've been looking for at, you know, as like fans of wrestling games back in like the 90s and early 2000s. So Gabe was like, I can't believe when we did our Nintendo wrap up, neither one of us had everybody's 1-2 Switch though.
Oh my gosh.
What the fuck were you thinking? We're over here playing other games. We could have been playing everybody's 1-2 Switch. What the fuck's wrong with us? Moving on to July here, though, we had Oxenfree 2 Lost Signals. Absolutely adore that game. I am a huge fan. I was like, I played that game. I played the first one when it first came out, like at launch, and I was like, I've been like championing that game ever since. So I was glad that like as time went on, like more and more people played it, and it definitely kind of grew more and more there. But it's like I'm definitely like one of those people where it's like when it's like you're a fan of a band at the beginning, and then like they get popular, and there's always that person who's like, "Ooh, I liked them when you when they were nobody." It's like I'm definitely the Oxenfree fan of that, you know. Exoprimal Gables, that came out in July as well. Jesus, goddamn Christ, what a
Yeah, that not only did it come out in July, but it really did disappear like about a week after.
yeah, it was a Game Pass game. It's just like kind of like mealy there. Like I think it came out and nobody talked about it. It came out on a Friday and I think by Monday everybody forgot about it. A game though that nobody forgot about, I don't think. Pikmin 4 came out
Yeah.
July 21st, so
Yeah, that's one strong game from the time I've had a play of it, like with the demo and stuff. It was fairly solid. I mean, I didn't really have any complaints about it. It definitely had a good structure. It definitely felt fun just ordering your Pikmin around to carry stuff around, like just to feed all the various bulb orbs and stuff, and like the different Pikmin too, like the little lightning Pikmin.
yeah.
And they were a good little added style to try to solve puzzles and stuff.
Yeah. We had the Expanse, the Telltale series. It was great having Telltale back. You know, it's a much different team, but it was nice to have them back. You know, they were also working with Deck Nine, who does like the Life is Strange, True Colors and stuff. But I ended up coming away. I was actually really, really happy with that. Like, got me actually into finally watching the Expanse, and I got like I watched like the first like 5 seasons in like a 3 week period, and then I think I got like 2 seasons left or maybe 1 season left, and I. Then the football season started and I just like it just fell off. So I need to go back and finish it 'cause I'm really close to the end, but I was really loving that show. And it's like all the games are coming out. It's like Starfield came out and football started that same weekend. And I was like Labor Day weekend. I was like, all right, well, this is my life now for the next like 6 months. So, yeah. Venba also came out though, July 31st. That was an Xbox, Game Pass game as well. And man, that was like, it's like a 90-minute game, but man, if you want to play a cool game that, you know, you learned about culture, a nice little cooking game, but also, man, you want to, you want to get hit right in the feels. I got a game for you and Vimba. Baldur's Gate 3, August 3rd, Gables came out. Yeah, game of the year. Man, that was like just a game that fucking took over gaming for really up until Starfield came out. It was like a good month that game just ruled everything,
Yes.
in the gaming sphere. Yeah, like, I mean, like, we had a good month too. It was like we had Bomb Rush Cyberpunk came out. We had the Red Dead Redemption ports came out. Texas Chainsaw Massacre came out. Immortal of Avium came out. Rest in peace. We had WrestleQuest come out. Like, man, I was super pumped for that game. That game was a fucking bummer. Blasphemous 2 came out. We had Armored Core 6 came out. And it was just like that came out and that didn't survive the onslaught of fucking Baldur's Gate 3. Like it
Yeah.
had like a day or two and then it was like right back to Baldur's Gate 3. I felt like
Well, yeah, exactly the point, because it's a good action game, but at the same time, as much as it was a good action game, people were really engrossed with Baldur's Gate 3 and all the other stuff around it.
yeah. Like Goodbye Volcano High was like that was a game that was an initial one of the first games they announced at a PlayStation showcase for PS5 and they had a ton of issues with development. It was in development hell for a long time. Finally came out, and I was like, man, once we finally like, saw what that game was, like I was like intrigued by like the, you know, it's got the art design and the music that I love, and an indie game. But then I came out, oh, it's like a lot of reading. I can't remember what those games called, but it's like It's all text-based. I don't know. It's just they're not for me. Sea of Stars came out on August 29th as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking
yes. Fantastic game.
Yeah. Indie game of the year. So that's pretty fucking crazy. Going into September here, we have Baldur's Gate 3 came out for PlayStation 5. Starfield came out, man. What a fucking goddamn. I played a fuck ton of that. I remember I had a 5-day weekend because of Labor Day. And I think I played like 35 hours in like 5 days of fucking Starfield. I got so hooked on that goddamn game. And then I ended up like forcing like it's kind of like a Zelda thing where like I was like I got so engrossed in like the side stuff that I didn't even touch the main story. And then I finally hit a wall and I think I ended up like knocking the story out in like 2 days. It was like 8 hours. I'm ready to get out of this game. And think of that 57 hours I played of the game. I spent probably 7 or 8 of those in loading screens. So, scrolling through here. Oh, Gunbrella came out. Man, what? I can't believe Gunbrella came out.
I know. This year. Not only did it come out, it got fairly favorable reviews and stuff, and it just came and went.
Yeah, I don't know. A game like, I mean, like some of these indie games should just not come out in like the fall. Like, you gotta find a time. I guess Sea of Stars came out at the end of August, but I mean, I don't know. I guess that also helped that being a Game Pass game too. But Jesus Christ. Oh, F-099 Gables, that came out. We had another shadow drop. We had 3 major shadow drops from each direct had a major shadow drop in it. So
exactly. And a lot of them were instantly playable from the get go.
Yeah. Yeah. Lies of P came out. Mortal Kombat 1. Man, what a fucking disappointment that goddamn game was to me. I was so excited for that fucking game. That's a fucking dumbass story.
And then the story took you out of it.
Yeah. Sonic Frontiers had DLC. That's sad. Cocoon came out. Man. Another game. Came out September 29th. Came out in the fall. Like, it's definitely got more of its flowers, but man. Like, I feel like if that game would have came out in, like, a slower time period, I don't know when a slow time period in 2023 would have been. I don't know, maybe like July sometime or something, but man, that game could have been so much bigger. Like, I fucking love that game. And speaking of the, you know, like, talk about like Planet of Lana kind of scratch that itch I was looking for from a Playdead team. This is like a former Playdead people that made like Limbo and Inside. And like, man, I had a goddamn, some of the best fucking puzzles I've ever played in a goddamn puzzle game. Broke my goddamn mind. Going into October here, Assassin's Creed Mirage came out. Just, man. I think I'm at a point, Gables, where I just realized I'm just kind of done with Ubisoft games. Like, this doesn't do it for me. I don't know what will anymore. Like, this is exactly what I wanted, and I was just like, eh.
Man, I don't blame you. I mean, Ubisoft creates their specific open world games and stuff, and you're either a fan of them or you just get so annoyed by them that you don't want to touch them again.
Yeah, but this is like, this is back to the basics, smaller. Assassin's Creed game, like, this is the thing I've been begging for years, and they finally gave it to me. I was like, you know, maybe I just don't care anymore. Like, kind of burned me out on this. Detective Pikachu Returns came out October 6th, Gables. Man, has there ever been like a more forgettable just like Nintendo game? Especially a Pokemon game?
I can think of one. Maybe not so much as like a Pokemon game though, but 1-2 Switch is definitely the most forgettable.
Yeah, but that game was just bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But like, I don't know. I mean, but at least like 1-2 Switch had its moments though. Like, but that was because like there was like 4 games to play on the Switch for a long time. So it's like when you were tired of talking about Breath of the Wild, you want to keep talking about the Switch, you talk about 1-2 Switch. So, man, maybe the most forgettable like first party Nintendo game on the Switch though. Post launch, Lords of the Fallen came out this year. Jesus goddamn Christ. Yeah. I'm just kind of, it's just funny to look at this. Like, Jesus, man, it's like so many games. Like, there's so many games. Like, I knew it was a lot of games came out, but it's like I keep forgetting like how many games came out. Sonic Superstars came out October 17th, 3 days before fucking Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder came out on the same goddamn day. Jesus, man. What a fucking goddamn stretch this was here. Just big games.
Good stretch.
Yeah, fantastic stretch. And then right after that, we had Metal Gear Solid Collection. What a slap in the fucking face that was. I bought it still, and I'm gonna play the games. But yeah, what could have been? What could have fucking been? Alan Wake 2, man, legitimately one of the best games of the year. One of my favorite moments in gaming this year with the the Wii Sing stuff from that people saw at the Game Awards. But going into November here. Oh yeah, RoboCop came out this year. I played it like 3 weeks ago. Totally forgot about it, man. That was a fucking awesome game. One of the best. My favorite seven out of my best seven of the year by far. Just a fucking absolute blast. Just could have been a little bit shorter. That's my only complaint about it. Star Ocean, the second story R came out same exact day. WarioWare, Move It. Also another just unforgettable, just another forgettable fucking Nintendo game actually, came out that year. What, man. I saw a lot of people were just kind of disappointed in that game. It's because it's just, I don't know. I think people were just over the motion stuff and yeah. Like a Dragon Gaiden, the main race's name. I saw the English dub just came out, so I might actually check that out now. I was waiting for that to come out. Persona 5 Tactica, did you play that game, Gables?
No, I didn't even have a chance to play that. That one was on the back burner, so I didn't even have a chance to check that out.
Yeah, because it's on Game Pass. So.
Yeah.
Mario RPG, yeah. I just,
oh, yeah, that was a fantastic remaster. That was a fantastic remaster of the game itself.
Yeah.
Added a bunch of stuff, though, in terms of the post-game and stuff, and some changes that made things easier to try to collect things like frog coins and, various enemy stuff. I mean, yeah, I really much love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I put, 5 hours of it, and it just did not click for me at all. So I'm glad you loved it, but I was really, really looking forward to it. I thought that, this is, gonna be awesome, and yeah, I'm just worried that Gable's maybe I just kind of grew out of those style. I'm really worried about playing Thousand Year Door next year. I'm worried it's not gonna click for me. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora came out. It's actually not bad. So, scrolling through here. Oh, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties came out, Gables, for fucking all the consoles. Oh my god,
I actually forgot about that.
I didn't even know that. Oh my fucking god, okay. I think that's it, Gables.
Yeah.
But I mean, my God, what a goddamn year for gaming. We kind of scrolled through it quickly in 40 minutes, but it's I feel like there's 20 fucking games though in that fucking list that I was oh my God, this is actually a really good game. It just kind of came out and nobody's talking about it. Even there's some 7 out of 10s that most years we would bring it up honorable mentions, but there's so many really, really great games.
Yes.
That would have been some of these some 8 out of 10s that would have been bottom of top 10 people's list that just are going to be completely everything took a step down this year. As far as the tiers go for games, which is unfortunate because there's a lot of great games coming out this year that, in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of, when you go back and look at Game Awards and all the games that got nominated, look at people's top 10s list, it's kind of a nice little snapshot of the year of gaming. And there's going to be so many great games that come out this year that when we look back in 5 years are just going to be forgotten about because they weren't talked about in a game of the year. They weren't nominated for Game Awards. They didn't win any awards. It's just, yeah, it's pretty crazy just how crazy this year was. But yeah, I think it's going to wrap it up for us this week. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening, whatever. Please follow, subscribe, check us out wherever podcast or service you're on. Leave us a review. Just hit the subscribe button. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, all that. And then Gables and I will be back next week. We will start our top list for top 10 games of 2023. So it should be pretty exciting. So once again, thank you guys so much for watching or listening. I was your host, I was Tyler.
I've been Colonel Gables. Until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening to the fun-filled episode of the Drunk-Nerds podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Let's go to bed.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
See ya.